Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. This Thursday at 4 p.m., the Mount in Lenox, Massachusetts presents Women Writing Through Loss, Connecting Through Calamity, featuring Dr. Lucy Kalanathy, Rebecca Sofer, and Emily Rapp Black as they read from their work and discuss the power of connection as friends, as writers, as mothers, and as women who forged powerful friendships after experiencing great personal loss and writing their way out of it. Rebecca Sofer joins us now to tell us more. Rebecca, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Before we talk about the event at the Mount, let's remind people about your sort of deal, what modern loss is, etc.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to ask me about like my deal in life, which would be so much more complex
sure.
to describe.
Anybody's would be.
I run a site called Modern Loss. It is an online publication that's also a community, a resource go-to, and frankly, becoming more of, I guess, a movement in its own way to open up the conversation around what it's like to live with loss. It's not just, you know, like focused on death or end of life. It's really a common ground for people who are living with loss to come together, to read stories about each other, about their experiences over the long arc of living with grief, because it's something that you live with for the rest of your life. From the moment that you lose someone, for the rest of your life, you're going to experience grief and loss in various ways. What my co-founder, Gabby Berkner, and I found in our own experiences, which were in her losing her dad and her stepmom by the time she was in her mid-20s, and in me losing both my parents by the time I was in my early 30s, which, as you can imagine, was not in either one of our life plans, was that it's really easy to feel really isolated when you're dealing with deep personal loss. And it doesn't matter if you're living in a really big city like New York, which is where we were living. It doesn't matter if you're living in the middle of a farm. The bottom line is that in this culture, it's still kind of taboo to talk about what it's like to experience the loss of someone you love, especially if you're talking about it well beyond that very mythical first 365 days where people assume that you're in it and that's the worst period of time for you. The truth of the matter is it's really hard at any point of the game. Triggers can come up when you least expect it, when you're grabbing for a bottle of syrup in aisle six and it reminds you of something and it's been 20 years since you lost somebody. But at the same time, what we want to show people is in sharing these stories of, you know, what a mess loss is. And when I talk about mess, I'm talking about financially, romantically, professionally, you know, it hits you in every which way. At the same time, it actually doesn't mean that your life is going to be a total bummer. Right. And that's what we want to show people, which is that they're really resilient and that not just in spite of this loss, but sometimes because of it, you can actually live a very rich and very happy life. Both Gabby and I really needed something like this for ourselves because we were so young. We weren't teenagers, but I still want to call 20 and, you know, 20s and early 30s very young in life. We were focused on building our entire lives and we really needed some sort of proof and someone to assure us that keep going. It's going to be okay somehow. It's going to be one big shade of gray, but that's very different than it being black and white. And that's what we want to show our community.
So how do people contribute writing pieces? How do you explore other avenues? Because I know that part of the import is that there's no one way, there's no right way to feel. And the stages of grief don't go in order or never come back. So how do you get people to reach out to you to tell you how they're feeling, to show, to prove that it's such an individual experience?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, I mean, in my experience, and I would say in anyone's experience who has, you know, dealt with grief and the news flashes, it's going to be all of us at some point down the line. It's a very nonlinear process. It's two step forward, one step back, five steps back, one step forward, and you really never know when those steps are going to happen. So what you really need to do is be kind to yourself and accept that these different waves come and they're complex. They're not just sadness. Maybe they're frustration and anger and longing and yearning, or maybe it's just feeling nothing, like feeling fine and then feeling guilty that you're feeling fine.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff that bubbles to the surface after you lose someone, and you just got to cut yourself a break and know that the waves come and you ride them as best as you can, and they will subside, and then they'll come again. But in the meantime, you know, things are going to be okay somehow. You have to find your tribe, though. And my sense, and what I believe is, you know, finding your tribe means finding people who make you feel comfortable talking about your loss, talking about the person you lost, talking about your experiences after losing that person, you know, and not making you feel like the onus is on you to make them feel comfortable talking about things like death and grief, not making you feel like you're this grim reaper bringing up something that's a total downer. Because as I said, everyone's going to deal with that stuff. So what we want to do is normalize the conversation so that it's really not a big deal, because this is such a universal topic and yet still stigmatized. What we do on the site is publish personal essays written by people who are contributing a piece that's narrowly focused around one aspect of their loss. A couple of examples are, you know, a woman writing about how, you know, she was like in her early 30s and found out that her husband, who died in a scuba diving accident, had been cheating on her with multiple women. She didn't know that until after he had died in a scuba accident. That's a very crazy story. But guess what? She told that story on our site in a beautiful essay that, you know, Gabby and I are writers and editors, and we very, very thoughtfully edit every single piece that's submitted to us. And after that piece ran, people emailed us asking if they could get in touch with this woman, because guess what? A variation of that thing happened to them. They were like, you would not believe this actually happened to me. And sure, like, it's different details, but can I talk to her so that we can bond? And so different pieces, you know, there's another piece, one of my, you know, favorite pieces that just makes me smile is, this writer, David Sachs, wrote a piece called What's in a Namesake? And it's about the struggle to find the perfect name for his baby after his wife's dad died. And they felt like all the eyes were on, you know, his wife's belly. Like, this is the namesake. Like, what? They got to find the perfect name because they lost this amazing man, this amazing patriarch. And you somehow have to honor him in this name, and how stressful it was. And also how comical, because they got to the point where they're like, we really can't think of any more H names in English. Like, they like, you know, kind of resorted to like Japanese H names. And then the end, they threw in the towel and they were like, you know, we're just going to choose a name we like. But everybody can relate to this because there's universality in all of these stories, even if the details are different. So all these personal essays really, I think, help bring people out of their own isolation and loss, but also they really serve as a catharsis for the people who are writing them and publishing them with us. They really feel like they're able to share something that sometimes, and dare I say, oftentimes, they don't feel comfortable sharing with the people who are closest to them in life.
August 17th, 4 p.m. at the Stable at the Mount in Lenox, Massachusetts. You are presenting, participating, Women Writing Through Loss, Connecting Through Calamity. Tell us about the event and your fellow participants.
Yes, it's a very long title.
It's not too long. It only feels long when I'm slowly reading it to you. It looks great on the page.
Oh, good. There is so much calamity, and we connected through it, so we thought it was a really appropriate title. I am so excited for this event for many reasons. The first one is I have been a very proud part-time Berkshire's resident for many, many years. I got married in New Marlborough. I reside in Great Barrington half of the time, and I just love the area so much. And by extension, I love the Mount, and I'm always at their summer programming and just could not be more tickled that we're doing it there. My friends, Lucy Kalanithi and Emily Rapp Black, are wonderful human beings who also happen to be incredible writers and very resilient women and have been dealt a really tough deck in life. Lucy is the widow of Paul Kalanithi, who I would think that a lot of people recognize his name from authoring When Breath Becomes Air, which, as you may or may not know, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize last year. And it's a beautiful book, if you haven't read it, of, you know, not just like loss and loss of life and end of life, but also it's just sheer poetry. I would say it's really about life and about all the things that you think about and when faced with your own mortality. And it's just one of the most beautiful books I've ever read. And it's hopeful. It's full of hope. And Lucy wrote the epilogue to her husband's book. And it's a beautiful epilogue. Lucy met Emily, who is a writer in her own right, when she asked her for help in writing the epilogue because Lucy is a doctor at Stanford.
Right.
So she's not, you know, just this creative author. She's an actual MD. Emily is an author of the New York Times bestseller, The Still Point of the Turning World, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous memoir about her experience losing her son, Ronan, from Tay-Sachs. He was 4 years old, I believe, when he passed away. And as you can imagine, just a gut-wrenching experience, or as you can't imagine, I certainly cannot. She is just the most amazing writer, the most amazing woman, and she's super bawdy. I mean, these women are funny. And I met both of them through Modern Loss. They are both in our forthcoming book, which is out in January with HarperCollins. I'm very excited about that. And so we just all became friends. We connected through this calamity and we created this really deep friendship amongst the three of us that was so funny because we haven't even spent that much time together in person, but it doesn't matter. I mean, like, we've hung out here and there, and we decided that, you know what, let's have a joint family vacation. So everybody is coming to stay with me next week for 5 days with toddlers. I have a baby. I have a toddler. They have toddlers. It's going to be like sheer insanity.
Yeah, it's going to be mad.
It's going to be insane. So
you
if anyone
can do
listening
it.
Wants to babysit, like, I'll give Sarah my phone number. But we're so excited because we realized, wow, the reason that we're all having this Berkshire's vacation together is because we met because of the worst things that have happened in our lives. Like, huh, think about that. Isn't that crazy? And this is an example of what I just said, which is, you know, sometimes not just in spite of what happens to you, but because of it, these amazing things come out of it. And yes, like, would I give everything I had to have my mom and dad back? Yeah, absolutely, because they're never going to meet my kids. My kids are going to never meet them. It's never going to stop, you know, sucking, to use poetry to describe it.
It's perfect.
Thanks. But, you know, it is what it is. They're not here. And so I want my life to be as rich as possible. And this friendship with these women are helping make it really rich. And what I really love about this friendship is that, you know, we just cut through the fluff in terms of getting to somewhere really deep with each other. I feel like when you connect through calamity, as we're calling it, you can really forge a deeper foundation with somebody because you understand that they get it. You understand that even though you're not talking about loss all day long, and, like, trust me, I don't, you know, like, I talk about a lot of other things, but it doesn't matter. It's just this comfort level knowing that they know what you live with every single day. And I think it helps you just get to a deeper and a more familiar place with somebody when that's the case.
Every time that I hear about or think about what you've created with Modern Loss, I feel like, yes, this is needed. This is what people need. And then I feel like when I see that you're doing events like this at the Mount, that it's like another point of light recognizing, like, you reach out to the Mount, what about this kind of event? And the Mount is like, yeah, people need that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, look, I'm going to say my name is like the tiniest of the three that are participating in this event. These two women are just amazing powerhouses. But when I reached out to them with this idea, we were like, oh, we're all going to be hanging in the Berkshires. Why don't we do a talk somewhere? I thought, where would a good place for this be? And we thought, oh, my God, Edith Wharton. I mean, she was such a badass. And she was really insightful. And she was really, you know, had a sharp eye on, you know, describing society and, like, kind of calling it like it was in her own way. And so we thought, wow, there's, like, no better place that has, like, the spirit of what we're trying to get at, which is, you know, the candid nature of talking about things and talking about the tough stuff than the Mount. So when I reached out to them, it was kind of amazing. We heard back in about like 3 minutes.
Yeah, they're very good over there.
Yeah. So very impressive place. So I'm so excited. We are talking about maybe wearing bustles in the spirit of things. We're probably not going to because I personally don't own a bustle.
Right. I've been there a couple times this year. I definitely wore jeans both times.
but it's going to be a really great event. It's going to be, you know, I think that sometimes when people hear the word loss or they hear the word grief, they think, oh, man, that's like a bummer. Like, I don't want to touch that. I don't blame you, but we're not, you know, that's not us. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about life and we talk about what comes out of it. And and we hope to meet you there.
Women Writing Through Loss, Connecting Through Calamity, August 17th at 4 p.m. at the Stable at the Mount in Lenox. EdithWharton.org for more information. Rebecca, great to talk to you. Thank you for coming in.
As always, Sarah, it was wonderful speaking with you. Thanks for having me.
Rebecca Sofer is the co-founder of Modern Loss, modernloss.com. Once again, Women Writing Through Loss, Connecting Through Calamity will take place this Thursday, August 17th at 4 p.m. at the Stable at the Mount in Lenox, Massachusetts. EdithWharton.org for more information. Links will be posted along with this conversation at WAMC.org/roundtable.